In 1 Samuel 16 would be our scripture lesson for the morning. I would invite you to turn with me there to 1 Samuel the 16th chapter and verses 1 through 13. I'd invite you to turn and to read along with me this morning. Will you hear this word? The Lord said to Samuel, "How long will you grieve over Saul? I have rejected him for being king over Israel. Fill your horn with oil and set out, and I will send you to Jesse the Bethlehemite, for I have provided for myself a king among his sons." Samuel said, "How can I go? If Saul hears of it, he will kill me." And the Lord said, "Take a heifer with you, and say, 'I have come to offer a sacrifice to the Lord. I invite Jesse to the sacrifice, and I will show you what you shall do. And you shall anoint for me the one whom I name to you.'" Samuel did what the Lord commanded and came to Bethlehem. The elders of the city came to meet him, trembling, and said, "Do you come peacefully?" He said, "Peaceably, I come to sacrifice to the Lord. Sacrifice yourselves and come with me to the sacrifice." And he sanctified Jesse and his sons and invited them to the sacrifice. When they came, he looked at Eliab and thought, "Surely the Lord anointed is now before the Lord." But the Lord said to Samuel, "Do not look on his appearance or on the height of his stature, because I have rejected him. For the Lord does not see as mortals see. They look on outward appearance, but the Lord looks on the heart." Then Jesse called Aminadab and made him pass before Samuel. He said, "Neither has the Lord chosen this one." Then Jesse made Shimei pass by, and he said, "Neither has the Lord chosen this one." Jesse made seven sons to pass before Samuel. And Samuel said to Jesse, "The Lord has not chosen any of these." Samuel said to Jesse, "Are all your sons here?" And he said, "There remain yet the youngest, but he is keeping the sheep." And Samuel said to Jesse, "Send and bring him, for he will not sit down until he comes here." He sent out and brought him in. Now his eyes were ruddy. He had beautiful eyes and was handsome. The Lord says, "Rise and anoint him, for this is the one." Then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the presence of his brothers. And the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon David from that day forward. Samuel then sent out and went to Ramah. May God bless and sanctify this, the reading, and our the hearing of God's word. From this passage, then, this topic for the morning: anoint him, for this is the one. Will you pray with me? Now, gracious God, let the words of my mouth, the meditation, thoughts, desires of all of our hearts be acceptable within your sight. For you, dear God, are our rock and our strength and our Redeemer. And the people of God say, Amen. The story is told of a pastor who, after church, saw a young boy who had just come out of Sunday school. He approached the young man and thought this would be a chance to see just what he was learning in his class. And he said to the young boy, "If you can tell me one thing that God can do, I'll give you an apple." The young man thought for himself for a moment, and then he replied, "Sir, if you can tell me one thing that God can't do, I'll give you a whole box of apples." What we are talking about this morning is just what God can do. Just what God can do. It is often a mystery. But God is moving. And a part of this movement involves something. Something that we all desire and stand in need of. And that is, at some point in our life, we need to start all over again. Our passage for the morning is this moment in the nation of Israel, when they just need to start all over again. It is to be a new beginning. Saul had disobeyed God, and now the authority of his kingship is to be taken away from him. And God would direct Samuel to anoint a new king. And there is something in this process that just cuts through this time and goes all the way through the Old Testament, all the way to the anointing of Christ, the anointing of Christ at his baptism. It comes even further to our anointing and being called out and set aside in mission and in service. So let's look at this moment closely and notice that Samuel is in Jesse's home and told that there, there in that home, among Jesse's sons, is the one who is to be anointed king. Samuel sees Jesse's sons, and there is especially one who is tall, an imposing young man, and Samuel believes, yes, this must be the one. Yes. But God says, no. And then that piercing word, that human beings look on the outside. And I've always heard in that word that we can fool each other. But God looks on the heart. This then is about right relationship. And so God is looking on the heart. God then tells Samuel, here is David. He was out minding and tending the sheep. They had to go out and get him. Here is David. He's a young shepherd boy. David did not come up through the ranks as a tried veteran of war. Instead, it is by grace that he is chosen as king. Chosen to be the king. It is by grace. And what is revealed to us? In God's grace, David was the one that God desired to be king all along. David is described in an earlier passage as a man after God's own heart. Was he perfect? No, far from it. But there was something in David, that God was able to work with, even when he sinned, which he did. Even when he fell short, which he did. Something about him that God was able to always work with him, a man after God's own heart. What is at work now then is the grace of God. As we think about new beginnings in our life, there is one reality that ought to speak to us, and that is we can't do it by ourselves. Talking about this new beginning now, we can't do it by ourselves. And the good news is, we don't have to. I like that story of during the Spanish-American War, Theodore Roosevelt came to Clara Barton of the Red Cross to buy some supplies for his sick men. He wanted to buy them. His request was refused. Roosevelt was troubled and asked, "How can I get these things? I must have them. I must have this food. I must have these supplies for my sick men. How can I buy them?" Clara Barton responded, "Just ask for them. Just ask for them, Colonel," said Barton. "Oh," said Roosevelt, "then I do ask for them." He got them at once. Not through buying. He asked for them. He received them then through grace. Is there some blessing, some gift, some gift that we are denying ourselves because we won't let the grace of God have its way in our life? I understand it because it is a part of my journey. It is a part of my experience. To think that I have all of the answers, only to make matters worse. It is not until I have stepped down that God has stepped up. It is not until I have acknowledged what is my emptiness that God has filled my cup until it is overflown. It is when I've surrendered that God has opened the door and made a way where there seemed to be no way. Grace, grace, God's amazing grace. Samuel anoints David. And in this grace, the Spirit comes upon him. I want you to note this moment in Scripture, because it is at this moment that the nation of Israel is truly born. And the message The message that comes as a part of this birth is that God's presence is with God's people. And this presence extends to the birth in the manger. It extends to a death on the cross. It extends all the way to resurrection on Easter morning. The anointing and the presence of God comes all the way to this moment, right here, right now. It is something to realize that in our way and in our call, the Spirit is saying, anoint them. What other way then can we respond except to accept it and to be in service to God? The Spirit, the anointing of the Spirit, will empower each of us to fulfill the gifts that God has given to us. The anointing of the Spirit would move us to places where we never thought we would go. What we're talking about here is life. Is life. I say that because you can't really live without taking a risk. If our course is to always be careful or to live in fear, to live with pessimism, believing that there is no hope, then we're just existing. We're not really living. But if we are to really live, then we must step up. We must step out. I imagine that David did not understand all that was taking place as Samuel was anointing him king. It would be some time before he would actually assume his position, and Saul would even try to kill him. And yet David trusted God. David trusted God. He trusted the anointing that had been placed upon him. David trusted God. And God would see him through. I wanted us to think for a moment of all that God has, of all that God has for us, and God wanting to see us through. There are some words that are just a guidepost for me. The church does not have a mission. It is a mission. The church is not another organization. It is a dynamic living organism. The church is not a business. The church is a community. And somehow it is our gifts, the gifts that God has given to us, that are tied together. And where my gift may stop, yours picks up. And somehow truly we are the family and people of God. We can never lose sight of the anointing. We can never lose sight that we have been called out and set aside for mission and for service. We can't lose sight that our primary service is to make disciples for Jesus Christ. So we've talked about Samuel, anointing of David, the anointing in grace that he might be in service. And yes, that we might be in service. Let me close this way then, and that is with a word of thanksgiving for the chance to be here in ministry and in service with you. I always thank my family last for some reason at these moments, but I wanted to thank them first. For Lou and Ryan and Deshaun, for their support, for their care. I wanted you to know in this public setting how grateful I truly am. For our staff, I wanted to say thanks to them, for they have worked very, very, very hard before I came and while I've been here, and I'm sure for the new pastor as well, they have worked very hard. They've not only made it a joyful place to be able to work, but I have admired just how much they are committed to the work, to the mission of the life of our church. You can't put in dollars and cents the kind of labor that they have given, and I am indeed grateful to all of them. I want to pray for Pastor Will as he's coming, and know that we will pray and surround him as he and his wife and son are making their move here to the Aurora area. Pray for him as he picks up the dynamics of the mission and the purpose that is here at Burns Church. Wherever I am, when I think of here, the positive experiences, these children being at bedsides in our nursing homes, just sharing with people in their life's journey, being there at the time of death, and then 100 birthdays. And one member we discovered this week, if our records are right, she's actually 105. So we might have to look into that one a little more. But just being there at these moments, they far outweigh anything else. May the presence of the Spirit, then, always be working within this place. Always. Always be working within this place. So the message comes to us: anoint Burns. Anoint Burns. For this is God's church. So let it be. And the people of God said, Amen.